Welcome to the Mitch Hanks Show, originating four blocks from Wisconsin's capital. Mitch is the radio voice of uncommon sense. All sides of an argument are welcome here. Just be prepared to make one, as Mitch argues for truth, not victory. Politics, lifestyle, pop culture are all on the table. So get ready to participate on the Mitch Hanks Show. It might seem
crazy what I'm about to say. Man, we're very happy to be here. We're also happy to announce the beginning tomorrow. On tomorrow's show, we're going to start with news at the top of the hour on the Wisconsin Radio Network. We're very happy about that as we turn a new page in the future of MadisonTalks.com, the Mitch Hanks Show, as we build this online radio station with podcasts that you can enjoy. And I tell you what, anybody can do a podcast. A cause to advance, book to sell, maybe a relationship to solve. I don't care. You can do it. And we have a promotion. The first one is free. After that, the studio hour, studio engineers, full-time professional radio equipment, staff, quality. It'd be the most important $100 you spend this year for the studio hour to rent. Do a podcast on internet radio for the world to hear. It's just $100. Do your own live one-hour radio show posted as a podcast on MadisonTalks.com. So you can do it, man. You bring the content, your thoughts on politics, education, family, religion, your favorite books, your favorite sports teams, your favorite movies, dream interpretation, the meaning of life, the meaning of the Cubs as world champs, meaning of Packers as next year's world champs. Hey, got a beef to express, dream to share. There it is. You know, window to the world because you're live worldwide when you do your show. And it's posted on MadisonTalks.com. The President of the United States' headlines this morning because he's of what he says. He likes to say things. He doesn't couch things, obviously, in the framework of traditional presidents, traditional politicians. And he did so again on three counts, and they're all over this morning in the morning news on the cable shows. He said he was proud to meet with Kim Jong-un. We'll get to that. He'd be proud to meet with him. Call him a smart cookie. But what's getting the most play, of course, he also had a back and forth with John Dickerson of CBS on the surveillance and Obama. We'll get to that too. But what's getting the most play this morning is comments about Andrew Jackson. Andrew Jackson was a former president. He was elected in 1828 in that very dirty race against John Quincy Adams. And Jackson was from Tennessee, southerner, slave owner. Of course, a lot of guys were slave owners in those days. But he was a guy who would defy federal judges on rulings regarding Indian treaties. And he said about John Jay, he's made his ruling, now let him enforce it. He relocated tribes, you know, after the West, and there's still bad blood, bad feeling there. But anyway, he's caught Trump's eye. And Trump said in an interview that if Jackson had been around, they might have avoided the Civil War. Let's hear the quote.
If Jackson had been a little bit later, you wouldn't have had the Civil War. He was a very tough person. But he had a big heart, and he was really angry that he saw what was happening with regard to the Civil War. He said, there's no reason for this. People don't realize, you know, the Civil War. You think about it, why? People don't ask that question. But why was there the Civil War? Why could that one not have been worked out?
Well, okay, a couple of things here, and I'm trying to be gentle because I'm a bit of a history geek, but Andrew Jackson died in 1845, 16 years before there was a Civil War. Now, he was aware of tensions building between the states on the question. I realized that, which kind of came to crescendo a decade later, but you know, he knew of that. I mean, even John Adams and Thomas Jefferson wrote letters back and forth in 1825 about that. as Massachusetts was quickly a free state and Virginia was not. And Adams called out his friend Thomas Jefferson to free his slaves. He would not. Andrew Jackson, of course, didn't free his slaves either, but as was sort of the case with those guys, especially Southern aristocratic men, Jackson was kind of an economic populist, which is what Trump admires. But again, they're bringing on Douglas Brinkley, historian, Doris Kearns Goodwin, all these people to say, well, no, Jackson couldn't have avoided the Civil War because Jackson wouldn't have wanted to give up slavery. He wouldn't have compromised on slavery, and that was a key sticking point, as they might say. I mean, to this day, the South will refer to the Civil War as the War for Southern Independence. Keep in mind, a Civil War means that two sides are fighting for control of one government. That's a Civil War. You're fighting for control. A Civil War in a marriage, you're fighting control or for dominance of the household. That's a Civil War. When you say, I'm out, I leave, you're not fighting, you're leaving. The South wanted out. They wanted to leave. They wanted their own country. They said, I'm out of here. They didn't want to fight. They wanted to leave. And they seceded from the Union. Rather than say, well, go ahead, don't let the door hit your ass on the way out, Lincoln said, a house divided against itself shall not stand. Lincoln said, no, you can't leave. You can't leave. And they fought. Made them stay. It'd be like, you know, you're in a bad relationship and you've got your keys. You're going to the apartment to go home to your own apartment because you don't want to fight. And your girlfriend or boyfriend would say, you can't just leave. Well, yeah, I can. I can leave. I got my keys. I'm leaving. But when you give up your own apartment, when you move in together, guess what? You can't go home to your own apartment. You lose that leverage. Now you can go to a hotel. You can go to a friend's house, sleep on the couch. But pretty much you are stuck. So the country was the union. It was the marriage that Lincoln didn't want to dissolve. And that was the end of it. Now, Trump is causing all kinds of reaction in the Beltway press again about other things, too. He talked about surveillance. He was being interviewed by John Dickerson of CBS on Obama and, quote-unquote, wiretapping. Also on the question of North Korea, he's trying to, I guess, sound a little softer now on Kim Jong-un because he's been sounding tough. And I tell you, we'll get to those after the break. Oh, no, you've got North Korea. Yeah, here he is, John Dickerson. He did a long interview with John. Part of it was in the Oval Office, we'll get to later on surveillance. But the president talked about Kim Jong-un, where the people are starving, but he is not. And said, well, you know, he's kind of a smart cookie. Here we go.
People are saying, is he sane? I have no idea. I can tell you this, and a lot of people don't like when I say it, but he was a young man of 26 or 27 when he took over from his father, when his father died. He's dealing with obviously very tough people, in particular the generals and others. And at a very young age, he was able to assume power. A lot of people, I'm sure, tried to take that power away, whether it was his uncle or anybody else. And he was able to do it. So obviously, he's a pretty smart cookie.
He's a smart cookie. And then Trump later said, of course, he's had plenty of cookies, I'll say that. But then Trump also said later, I'd be honored to meet with him. Honored to meet with him. And he said, well, I guess we're making news. So the president, by saying he's a smart cookie and to be honored to meet with him, is clearly showing an olive branch to Kim Jong-un. In the midst of saber-rattling, which we've been hearing the tough talk, he's now trying to stroke Kim Jong-un's ego, the way Kim Jong-un stroked Dennis Rodman's ego of the NBA. We'll come back. Now, we didn't do the surveillance, but he got a little snippy on that. So the president's in the headlines this morning. Again, what he says more than what he does, this is the Mitch Hanks Show on MadisonTalks.com. 6AM Marketing is a Wisconsin-based ad agency that doesn't look or act like other ad agencies. They don't follow conventional thinking and constantly push themselves and their clients to test the bounds of how far they can go. The result is relationships that have lasted more than 10 years. Clients refer to 6AM and their work as fresh, insightful, strategic, edgy, and creative. 6AM shows customers why your products and services are better than the competition. 6AM's brand smart process helps you establish your brand in the market for years to come. With a client's marketing team by its side, 6AM digs for the business problem the client is trying to solve and the business goals and objectives they hope to achieve, examining the market, competitors, the brand's consumers, and messaging to define a brand proposition that is both compelling and unique to the market. 6AM Marketing. They do it differently, and they do it well. Go to 6ammarketing.com. That's www.6ammarketing.com.
If you're a B2B business owner or manager who also sells, have you ever said, I wish I could be in more than one place at the same time? I need more me. As the owner, you're great at sales because nobody knows your product like you do. But administrative and operations work take too much of your time and take you away from bringing in more business. Now there is a revolutionary new solution. Discover it in a 3-minute video at needmoreme.com. Now you can be in more than one place at a time. Learn how at needmoreme.com. That's needmoreme.com.
Talk radio will never be the same. The uncommon sense of Mitch Hank has been unleashed worldwide. This is the all-new Mitch Hank Show.
In real estate, you want to work with Tim Rayl.
One thing that we really appreciated about Tim was his knowledge of the real estate market. Fair prices, what was asking too much, and he knew about development, who the builders were and what their strengths were.
Let's get ink on paper today with Realtor Tim Rayl of Coldwell Banker Success, 698-7653.
Tim is a very fun guy, and it was a very enjoyable process.
Tim Rayl, 698-7653.
Joe here from Comedy on State. Looking for something to do? Maybe you got a birthday coming up. You want to get the family together? Come to Comedy on State. It's so easy. You can go to madisoncomedy.com. You can purchase your tickets right from the website. We book the best comics from Late Night, from Conan O'Brien, from Comedy Central.
For a list of upcoming Comedy Club performers or to purchase tickets, go to madisoncomedyclub.com and click shows. Performer bios are available by clicking on their pictures.
That's Comedy on State. Madison Comedy. Comedy.com or 256-0099.
Welcome back to the Mitch Hank Show. Mitch seeks the truth by inviting all sides of the issue. Thanks for listening to the Mitch Hank Show.
Yeah, the president, we're kind of sticking with the president because he was the poster boy. With some interviews he's done the last 24 hours, Bloomberg and CBS and so forth. The other one that's getting some reaction is his comments regarding the wiretapping charges against President Obama. And so John Dickerson asked, of course, John was not really listening to his answers. He kept going at him. And I thought it was a little bit of showmanship here, but you can tell me what you think. On Trump, on surveillance, coming up. Yeah, John Dickerson of CBS News did part of the interview sitting down where you heard the chunk on Kim Jong-un, and then they walked into the Oval Office for part of the little walk-and-talk dimension, and here's where that happened.
You learn that skill. Who do you call to say what's it like?
There's nobody you can call.
Did President Obama give you any advice that was helpful that you think, wow, he really...
Very nice to me, but after that, we've had some difficulties, so it doesn't matter. You know, words are less important to me than deeds, and you saw what happened with surveillance, and everybody saw what happened with surveillance.
Difficulties how?
I thought that, well, you saw what happened with surveillance, and I think that was inappropriate.
What does that mean, sir?
You can figure that out yourself.
Well, the reason I asked is you said you called him sick and bad.
Look, you can figure it out yourself. He was very nice to me with words, and when I was with him, but after that, there has been no relationship.
But you stand by that claim about him?
I don't stand by anything. I just, you can take it the way you want. I think our side's been proven very strongly, and everybody's talking about it. And frankly, it should be discussed. I think that is a very big surveillance of our citizens. I think that's a very big topic, and it's a topic that should be number one, and we should find out what the hell is going on.
I just wanted to find out, though, you're the president of the United States. You said he was sick and bad because he had tapped you.
You can take it any way you want.
But I'm asking you, because you don't want it to be fake news. I want to hear it from President Trump.
You don't have to ask me.
Why not?
Because I have my own opinions. You can have your own opinions.
But I want to know your opinions. You're the president of the United States.
That's enough. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Well, he kept saying, I'm just curious about John Dickerson's question, because he kept saying there was great surveillance. Everybody's talking about the surveillance. You know about the surveillance. And then John goes, well, do you stand by it? I don't stand by anything. Well, I think I've seen Trump on this because he's defensive about the words wiretapping, because he had them in quotes, and you look at your cell phone. We don't wiretap our cell phones. So he goes, I don't stand by anything. So I think he was just being defensive about the wiretapping charge. But clearly, he was on the offensive about surveillance. And John kept saying, what do you mean? What do you mean? What is your opinion? You know, and he says, well, we think there's been a lot of surveillance, and you know, we think our side is right. that if you continue that, you're going to get what you got. I mean, I'm not surprised the way it ended the way it did. To me, you should say, well, Mr. President, you really haven't offered any proof yet. You know, will there be proof? You know, maybe you might say, well, we think, you know, who knows? But let's go to the phones. Because I'm sensing that President Trump's fans in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, or out in Trump country could care less. And I know his haters love this stuff. But what does it get us? Where are we going? Hello, Joanne.
Yes, in a positive vein. It is good that Trump is trying to figure the world out. I've had relatives like that who, you know, all of a sudden come up with this new strategy for winning World War II or whatever, a new strategy for saving the world in another dimension. And it's good. His brain is working. I would like it if he tweeted less and maybe took some of those ideas to the noted historians that I would be very sure would fill his office if he would want to do so. But again, I'm happy he's trying to make sense of the world, and I'm sure that right now he's trying to make sense of those evil dictators that he has to deal with, and he's figuring that the fella in North Korea that he has to work with.
He's a smart cookie, Joanne. He's a smart cookie.
He is a smart cookie.
And he likes to eat dozens of cookies, we should point out.
Yeah, right. He's one of those cats. But I like the way that he's trying to get a read on those folks the way he would get a read on anybody he'd deal with in a business situation. You know, how to stroke an ego and all that. I'm sure he said that it would be an honor to work with the people with whom he's had deals. So he's a deal maker. So in that respect, since I'd like not to have any major war with North Korea, if he's still in the figuring out stage, if Trump is still trying to figure these people out, I'm happy.
Well, okay, I'm glad you're happy. And again, I think a lot of people go nuts about what Trump says, but you know, look at what Trump does. I mean, he bombed the Syrian airfield. He's been negotiating with these people in Congress more than past presidents. He's talking to them. He's bringing in their caucuses. He's trying to give and take. So I don't know that that's because of his lack of negotiating and willing to talk. It's because the sides are just far apart on policy. You know, and so, you know, what are you going to do? I mean, if you give on one hand to the conservative caucus, you're going to lose the moderates and vice versa. So, go ahead.
Trump has an amazing set of roles. Every president does, and I know because he said so that he feels a little bit of he feels as if he's underwater because he's got so many different roles to fill, both on the domestic and the foreign. But what I'm really concerned about is if he again stops stops thinking things out, stops wanting to engage. We've had presidents to some extent who have been less curious. Let's say some of the analyses of George W. Bush and the presidency show that individual as being less curious about the world, less just kind of floating through and not taking aggressive action when he might have turned back on some of the maneuvers in Iraq that could have saved many American lives, etc. But again, engagement with the world, curiosity is always a good thing.
Well, I suppose that is. No, Andrew Jackson, I think it was kind of wishful thinking. You might have had the dates wrong, because Jackson was dead by 1845, and the war started in 1861. So,
again, I compared Trump with some of my relatives, and they would have done
oh,
it.
I see.
All right. We're at a big barbecue, right? We're sitting around.
I've said often that my own mother was never a fan of Lincoln simply because he approved the land grant for Purdue. It takes it a little bit away from the conventional geopolitical conversation.
Right. Yeah. Well, I've known some people at I just went to Wharton School to present something, Wharton School of Business, and I talked to people who had a lot of interaction with the Trump family, and they were telling me that Ivanka is one of the brightest individuals they've ever met. His two sons are quote unquote bricks. I don't know what that means. You can leave that to other people's discussion. But there's some very intelligent genes in those families, the Trump family. With Ivanka as the person, I can attest to. So I'm just trying to be hopeful on a very gloomy day. Thank you.
Well,
so
I'm
much.
Glad you're hopeful on a gloomy day, which we've had too many gloomy days of late, Joanne.
But on the other hand, those poor students who are trying to study right now, this is finals week for everybody. This gives them another reason to go inside and get that last study done. I'm
yes.
sure some of them are listening to Mitch right now.
Finals. Oh, my God. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Finals. Remember finals? Weren't those fun, huh? Finals, huh? Mike, he's
fun
smiling.
Stuff. Yeah, that's good stuff.
Were your stomach in knots during that? Because my sister and aunt were talking once, like, boy, my stomach, it was in knots. My stomach, and they were all just going, oh, my God. And my uncle was hearing this conversation at a family gathering. He said, finals? I always thought I was doing well if I knew when they were.
In high school, they were. College was a different story. I love school and college.
You did like it.
Oh, yeah.
You were prepared for it. Well, high school, geez.
That was the
you're right. I was better in college, too. High school, you're dealing with girls and social things, and it's just too much work to have to study. College, you're kind of there. You got to study. You got to do it. But, man, oh, man, high school, we had this chemistry teacher who was a cross between Dom DeLuise and Jonathan Winters. And I just would laugh. I'd sit there and laugh the entire class, and I didn't know what these chemistry things were. I mean, good Lord, these chemistry formulas or whatever, the symbols. I mean, you might as well take me up and shoot me in the head. I mean, but I just looked at this guy. He had a green coat on all of it. He taught the school with a green coat, and then he would engage in these moral messages. Like, well, it's like when these young girls and boys start to go too far and then they regret it later. I mean, what does that have to do with chemistry? Stick to chemistry.
How the molecules repel.
Come on. That's a different kind of biology, sir. We'll come back. Until we got Roger Stone, third time's a charm, we hope.
We hope, yes.
Because last week his cell phone went off after breakfast. But we'll see what happens. He's coming up the top of the hour. We've got a little dispute on the tax front. I got some pushback yesterday. Plus, speaking and having the Republicans say it's illegal to disrupt a speaker. Do you have free speech? This could be a great debate. Free speech, does that mean freedom to heckle inside a university building? We'll come back with that in a momento. The Mitch Hanks Show on MadisonTalks.com.
Hi, I'm Mitch. I like to go on long walks to the Arboretum on a Sunday holding hands. I like to talk about relationships. I'm a gourmet cook. I like poetry. I like to go rock climbing on the weekends with my non-drinking friends.
My name's Mitch Hanks. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're right on. Need a comedian or MC for your private party or corporate event? Don't be shy. I can do it without telling any dirty jokes. In fact, when I'm not doing my Frank Sinatra tribute show, I've done stand-up at the comedy club and at private events for years. Whether it's a large convention or private gathering in your living room, I've done it. We all need to laugh more. The world can be even more stressful than it is. There's no business like show business, and I usually find those of you who have the best jokes about your coworkers at the company dinner. So feel free to contact me at 347-0374. That's 347-0374. Email at info@madisontalks.com. That's info@madisontalks.com.
Mitch Hank for Atterbury, Cameron, Hague.
I'm proud to be sitting next to senior partner and a man who's been voted Wisconsin's super lawyer multiple times, Eric Hague. What do you say to people who feel guilty about hiring a lawyer when they're injured or harmed by a company?
Well, there's a stigma that's been developed over the years where people are made to feel guilty about bringing a claim because of injuries. I have yet to meet a person or take on a client who woke up in the morning and said, geez, I'm going to go out and I hope I get in an accident today so I can make some money. People come in because they genuinely need help, and they're overmatched against a large insurance company. So we try to get them fair compensation and understand that it's probably a time that's very traumatic for them. They need someone on their side to guide them through the process that they're unfamiliar with.
So when you need a lawyer, do what I did. Call Atterbury, Cameron, Hague and reach them at yourwisconsininjurylawyers.com. That's yourwisconsininjurylawyers.com.
The all-new Mitch Hanks Show would like to thank our sponsors. We're grateful for their support of the all-new Mitch Hanks Show.
If you operate a business, you know there is no one-size-fits-all solution for today's technology challenges. MadisonGeeks.com plans, services, and installs technologies for small and medium businesses like network systems, servers, firewalls, wireless access points, telecommunications, security, remote service options, and business productivity solutions. MadisonGeeks.com is your IT staff. They take time to sit down to discuss your needs and present cost-effective solutions. With a Better Business Bureau A-plus rating, they are your trusted IT outsource partner. Expect less downtime. Faster resolutions lead to more productivity. Fewer day-to-day issues. Their proactive maintenance helps prevent issues from occurring. MadisonGeeks.com also offers computer and laptop service and repair. Madison Geeks are there to help. They're known for their candid, friendly approach and reliable, ready response. Check them out online at MadisonGeeks.com.
Two Bridges was one of the toughest neighborhoods in New York, especially in the Al Smith projects. It was a no man's land with no rules. On Christmas Eve 1951, Mac Pastamadeo vanished without a trace while walking home with his little boy Angelo. Now 13, Angelo is a gang member and the only witness to the brutal murder of an undercover cop who holds a clue to Mac's disappearance 6 years ago. Stalked by killers, Angelo becomes part of an unlikely alliance of a priest, a mob boss, and a police detective in order to uncover the truth behind the murder and Mac's disappearance. Weepers by Nick Chiarkis.
Welcome to the Mitch Hanks Show, originating four blocks from Wisconsin's capital. Mitch is the radio voice of uncommon sense. All sides of an argument are welcome here. Just be prepared to make one, as Mitch argues for truth, not victory. Politics, lifestyle, pop culture are all on the table. So get ready to participate on the Mitch Hanks Show.
And we'll tell you about a special guest. I can't pronounce his name, but he's a, I guess he's a Jewish conservative activist speaking on campus later tonight, and he is coming in to say that political correctness has run amok. I know he debated Kevin Barrett of former Wisconsin fame out of Colorado, as Barrett accused him of being a rightist and a fascist, but I can't pronounce his name. I'll work on that. He's coming in at 9:30. You know, it's like a soccer player. He's just In any event, at 9, Roger Stone. But in the meantime, a couple of things here. One on the tax front, I said when you had seen taxes cut, whether it's by Kennedy and LBJ, who signed Kennedy's bill, or Reagan or George W., you had revenues go up. And in the case of Reagan, you had 10 years of GDP growth, of record GDP growth. And if you adjust for inflation, the Reagan tax revenues that grew to the Treasury as well as collecting taxes didn't actually double on its face. If you apply inflation, the increase in revenues is about 74%, which matched some earlier highs. You had great growth after World War II, actually. The 40s were good. During the war, we produced all that stuff. But my point on it was, to be intellectually honest, one would have to argue that when you cut taxes like those times, you're going to have less revenue. It's going to cause a deficit. You're going to cause a greater deficit. Well, under Reagan, the deficits were large, but it's because of spending. When you increase revenue, when the money comes into the coffers of the Treasury in greater amounts, and you still have a deficit or greater deficits, it's because of spending. It's not because of a lack of revenue. That was the point I was making yesterday, which I stand by today. To be intellectually honest, you would have to say, like they're saying now, Trump's tax cuts are going to blow a hole in the deficit. And that could very well be the case, certainly in the short term. But they said that every single time in the past. They said that about Kennedy's. They said it about Reagan's. They said it about George W.'s. Now, with George W., after the tax cuts kicked in, we actually had revenue growth of about $700 billion from fiscal 04 to fiscal 08. And, of course, the meltdown happened after that. The meltdown was because a mortgage meltdown, because of a default crisis in the mortgage industry. We had, really banked heavily on allowing people without traditional credit to get loans to buy homes. And I know this in part because I was in the mortgage business during that time, late 2001 to 2010. I was in the mortgage business. And, people had funny loans and, most of our loans were normal loans, but, probably 3% were the funny loans and you could legally do them. No income, no asset, no stated income, stated asset, weird loans. And I said, I'll see what I can do. there are lenders out there that would, instead of requiring you to bring in your paycheck stubs to show income, we could just show bank deposits for 2 years. Oh, look. Because small business owners would put all their money in the bank, right? But they wouldn't show their accountants how much income they had because they didn't want to pay very high taxes. So we would say, well, just give us your bank deposits. And then the lender would take 75% of the bank deposits over 2 years. So if you're a business owner and you show your accountant you make 30 grand, so your taxes are low, you still got to put money in the bank to pay for your business, right? The money has to come from somewhere when you buy equipment, inventory. So you can't hide that unless you put it under a pillow and you're buying stuff in cash, which I had that too. I had an Eastern European client. And Mitch, it's not how much you make, it's how much you save. And so I said, well, that's great. But Nick, we have to have so much money in the bank to show the bank we have it for the purchase of the home. So he had plenty of money in the bank, right? It's called seasoned assets. You can't show that you have money in the bank to make a deposit because you just got a loan from your Uncle Charlie the night before and then take it out. No, they don't want that. It has to be seasoned, which means the money has to be in the bank for like 2 months. The rule was like 60 days has to be in the bank. Huh. So, like a week before we're going to close the deal, Nick takes the money out of the bank. And there's like no money in this account. Yeah. And I'm going, Nick! Because, the underwriters at the lender are going, why? I go, what did you do? What did you do? He goes, I put it in a box. What do you mean? I put the money in a box.
Awesome.
A safety deposit box. Because that way the government can see it. And that way they don't know he's making it. Therefore, his taxes will be lower. I know, but Nick, see, the bank wants to see it. They want to see it, Nick. Now we got to wait 2 more months. What? I go, and you got to put it back in the account. It's got to sit there for 2 more months. How do we get into this story? Oh, anyway, but he was a good borrower because he had money. But, I mean, it was a wacky world for a while. But the point of it is you can't blame the mortgage meltdown on the tax cuts if, in fact, before that, for 2 or 3 years, revenues to the Treasury were increasing. All I'm saying is, to be intellectually honest, and this goes for my friend Tom out there in Radioland, you would have to say the deficits would be bigger, that you would have a hole in the deficit if you cut the rates like that. And under Reagan, he cut the top individual rate in 86 during the tax reform bill from 70 to 28%. That's a massive cut of the top marginal rate. One would think that that would cause a big deficit, but it did not. We had deficits because of spending, not because of a lack of money. Now we'll deal with free speech and whether you have free speech to speak inside a building on campus. nothing's ever free, folks. The Mitch Hanks Show on MadisonTalks.com.
Contributing to our community's environmental awareness, Gunderson offers alternate burial options such as green burials. They're intended to ensure that the burial site remains as natural as possible. This is Pete Gunderson. Learn more about green burials at GundersonFH.com. Gunderson Funeral and Cremation Care, your hometown life celebration center. Gunderson Funeral Home.
The great Joe DiMaggio still holds the major league record for the longest hitting streak in 56 games. Bucks Takeout Pizza has a 56-year winning streak for the best thin crust pizza in the city. Bucks Pizza has a unique taste like no other. Handmade pizzas with homemade sauce and homemade sausage. 2 Madison locations on University Avenue and Cottage Grove Road. Just go to BucksPizzaMadison.com. BucksPizzaMadison.com.
The all-new Mitch Hanks Show would like to thank our sponsors. We're grateful for their support of the all-new Mitch Hanks Show.
When it comes to telephone on-hold advertising, some commonly asked questions are, why do we need an on-hold message? How do we write a script? How long should the message be? How does the message get played? How much does it cost? I'm Bob of Abella Creative Services, and a telephone on-hold message speaks directly to your target audience while they're on hold with your company. Continuously advertises only your business without the clutter of competitive ads and for just a fraction of conventional advertising costs. At Bob Abella Creative Services, we'll help you draft a well-written script, provide the appropriate announcer, music, or sound effects, and the studio time and expertise to put it all together. We'll also provide you with any special equipment you might need to play your on-hold message. Even though we probably have more experience than most other on-hold message companies, we'll cost you less. Let Bob Abella Creative Services stretch your advertising dollar with an on-hold message that provides your customers with real, actionable solutions to their problems. Bob Abella Creative Services gets results. Just send us an email at bacsgetsresults@gmail.com. That's bacsgetsresults@gmail.com.
At Troy Research, we understand that success is determined by your customers. To realize the greatest success possible, you need to understand what they want and why. Your customers have opinions to share with you. As researchers, our assignment is to gather those opinions, illuminate the issues, and shed the light of understanding on decision-making. Where can good research take your business? Call or email to talk about it. Troy Research at 608-271-8884 or email jlittle@troyresearch.com. Welcome back to the Mitch Hanks Show. Mitch seeks the truth by inviting all sides of the issue. Thanks for listening to the Mitch Hanks Show.
Okay, again, Roger Stone is scheduled to be on Top of the Hour. Hopefully third time's a charm. We had him last week. His cell phone ran out after breakfast. Kind of hurt the show. But, you know, I guess we had a tap dance a couple of times, didn't we? We're like dancing away. I think after we went to Facebook, are we on that yet? No, that'll be the second hour. We'll be on Facebook Live the last hour. And I forgot my sport coat, so I'm like a giant blueberry. But I'll tell you this,
without Facebook Live people knowing it, I'm going to be on my Zola diet again. It's going to start again. I'm done with this. I want to go and be a good boy, and so I can shrink, because I'm seeing the pictures on Facebook Live. I'm rather appalled. A little beefy. I mean, I wouldn't call it, you know, not like I'm at the circus, you know, sitting at the circus. What do people do when they weigh 500-600 pounds? They just sit at the circus so people can stare at them?
Yeah.
Is that what they do? Have you seen a person like that at the circus? I don't think I've ever seen a fat person sitting in the circus before.
No.
They just sit there.
It's an old thing, old freak shows.
You know what really freaked me out? You know, the food. Have you seen the Food Network on cable at all?
Huh?
My kids showed me, and because kids watch shows, and of course, I'm weird. I watch sports and news and whatever. I was that way when I was 12. But I like movies. But the kids at the Food Network, and there's this guy on there that gained 1,000 pounds. 1,000 pounds. Oh. They had to take him out of his bed with a
forklift.
Some kind of a forklift or something, you know. And they'd sit there and say, well, I'm going to start my diet here pretty soon. Well, it's always, well, you lie. When you're addicted to food or drugs or alcohol, you lie. That's what you do, you lie. Oh, yeah, tomorrow, I'll start tomorrow. I'll start tonight. I'll start in the morning. You know, I'll work out tomorrow. You know, that's what you do. You lie to yourself. And so this guy lost 1,000 pounds. It was an incredible thing. He lost 1,000 pounds.
Whoa.
And he was on the talk shows. He was on all the talk shows. He was this good-looking guy, a mustache, a suit, youngish type dude.
After all the surgeries.
Well, after he lost 1,000 pounds, you know.
Yeah.
And there he is doing the. And then one day, he went to the zoo, and there was a hot dog cart. And he thought, why don't I just reward myself? Because, you know, you can't, like, reward yourself. You can't go off the wagon. Trust me, folks. So he said, why don't I just reward myself and have a hot dog? Why not? I've lost all this good work. I put myself through all this agony. Lost 1,000 pounds. And he went on. He had a hot dog. Well, guess what?
No.
He had 21 hot dogs, and he gained all of the weight back.
Yikes.
And I'm telling you right now, the first time I did the diet, I lost 80 pounds. I lost 80 pounds. And then I said, I'll take some time off. I'll take a little time off. And I swear to God, I gained 30 pounds in like 2 weeks. So I think our 9:30 just walked in, but that's okay. We're still talking. I'll wait till the commercial. I can't talk till then. But it's good to see you, though. Any event, so George is on the phone. You want to comment on this? Because we're getting off the topic here, George.
The topic, you were talking about fat people sitting around, right?
Well, I don't know how that became the issue, because we're going to get into free speech. But
you mentioned it.
Yeah, I did. I guess my mind was wandering.
Well, I have season tickets down to Fireside Dinner Theater.
Oh, yeah.
You know, down in Fort Atkins.
Sure.
And anyway, the thing we enjoy, we always like to go when they have their buffet nights.
Oh, yes. Yeah, buffets are, you know, large people like buffets. Now, remember the Shakey's buffet? There was a Shakey's. Is there still a Shakey's on the east side? I don't know, but no. There used to be a Shakey's in Green Bay, and I tell you what, it was like everybody at that Shakey's buffet weighed like 360. I mean, it was really just sort of a cattle type of deal. And they had like 3 plates and, you know, go at it and boom, you know, off to the races. You don't see a lot of thin people at Shakey's buffets.
That's what I wanted to tell you.
I mean, my God, it's the ultimate in you know, gluttony is what it is,
yeah,
man.
Yeah. And a sin.
And so what happens with me is every once in a while I just get so fed up and disgusted that I just go on these binge diets.
Binge.
Because I just can't stand the way I look. I don't go out. I can't go out and mix like I once did. And so that's it. You just can't live your whole life watching the Celtics and, you know, Masters highlights from 1972. Yep.
Mitch, let me tell you one of the fun things, though. When you go to the fireside, we always like to sit in the balcony, front row, top balcony, because you're sort of hidden up there.
Isn't that sort of a fixation you have with the Lincoln assassination? Isn't that why you do that?
No, no. But listen, because they've all just ate like tons of food, right? And there are all these old people, and they come in and they sit down around the stage on the main floor, and they can barely fit. Lots of them can barely fit in little seats. And so we make bets. We make bets up above which one will fall asleep the first, in the front row, with them kids working their ass off to dance and sing and do the show.
The stomach is grinding away on those potatoes is what's going on there. You know what the ultimate slap was, and I'll get to the topic here, but when I was on, remember the scrambler at the fair, the scrambler?
Oh, that, of course, one of my favorite
rides. And one time the guy had trouble, you know, closing the door of my seat, my car, because I was so fat, and he had to like, ugh, he had to like, ugh.
Give it a good one.
Give it a good whack and lock. And he goes, boy, a lot of potatoes in there, a lot of potatoes. I mean, I'm getting insulted by the carny. The carny with no teeth is insulting me. A lot of potatoes in there. I mean, I think that's when you hit rock bottom at that moment. Yeah. Don't you think? A lot of potatoes in there.
I'll have a pizza and some
beer. A lot of potatoes.
The hell with them. Yeah.
How about how's child support coming along, sir? Not to mention the dental plan. No dental plan here at the fair. No, I'm sorry, but that's what happens. You save your zingers. Cletus has just made a joke about Mitch. Thanks a lot, George. We appreciate it very much. Go have a salad. All right. Have a cookie. Go away, as Don Rickles would say. Thank you. Now, on the free speech front, the Republicans said, well, you know, we want to make sure that speakers are allowed to speak, and I think that's good. The question is, and I'm just questioning how this will go in the courts, and I'm going to call a lawyer friend on this. If you're inside the hall, the organizers of the event, and 44% of the instructional cost of Wisconsin comes from taxpayers, the overall cost is like 20% because they have other sources of revenue and so forth. But can you heckle? I mean, if I'm seeing a speaker in an auditorium or something, and I stand and heckle, now the organizers of the event can tell you, shut up, or you're out.
Yep.
At a comedy club, they can, but that's private, right? Now, but even though the public institution is public, it is subjected to authorities who have regulatory power, right? Because otherwise, why would I have been told as a kid when I'm driving my car through the private drive in my high school parking lot by the tennis court, it said private drive, and I used to take it, it was closer to my house. One night, a cop stopped me and said, you got to go back. This is a private drive. And I said, who owns it? It's, you know, it's on the high school parking lot property, public high school. I said, well, who owns the drive? He goes, I don't care. He couldn't answer the question, of course. He just wanted to enforce the law.
Right.
I said, well, who owns the drive? And I think he didn't know because we, the taxpayers, own the drive. But the taxpayers are authorizing the school board and the school officials to dictate who can use that drive, right? I mean, so I'm sure that would have been the case had I gone to court at age 16, snot-nosed kid that I was, trying to drive my parents' dilapidated station wagon along the private drive. What private drive? So can they? So they can. I took a camera 20 years ago. On Paul Ryan and Timmy Baldwin's induction in Congress, we sent a TV crew out there from Channel 15, and they wouldn't let our camera in the Capitol, the U.S. Capitol. We couldn't take a camera in there. It's the people's Capitol, owned by the people. But these gendarmes, these security... Oh, no, I'm sorry. We can't have a camera inside the Capitol. Why? Why? That's a rule. It's a rule. They can make the rule. It's just like these... Farmer's Market. He's been Wednesdays on the square. And then one of the members of the legislature was mad because her parking spot was being used for the Farmer's Market. And she complained. So the leadership said, well, we got to move it to MLK. Got to move it to Martin Luther King Drive because we can't take Representative Lozick's parking spot. Mary Lozick's parking spot. Did you hear that? It was Mary Lozick whose parking spot it was. And, you know, they moved it. Why? Because they can. They can tell us that we can't park on the square. Why? Because they can tell us that. Well, they're public parking. It doesn't matter. So I guess they can tell the speakers, you will speak, and if you heckle, you shut up, and we'll throw you out. Now, you can go to court if you want and challenge it. Who knows, you might get a good judge, but I'm telling you right now, they can do that. As one who's been told to shut up many times in my life, especially as a reporter, when I wanted to get cover the meeting, they said, oh, it's a closed meeting. Closed. Why is it closed? Well, because in closed meeting, if it deals with potential litigation or personnel. Guess what, folks? Everything deals with personnel or potential litigation. Everything. I'll calm down. Roger Stone is supposed to be on at the top of the hour. The Mitch Hink Show on MadisonTalks.com.
MadisonTalks.com is the home of Madison's most creative talk radio. If you have a serious gift of gab, you have stories to share, political, social, or religious positions to express, contact Madison Talks to have your own 60-minute weekly podcast recorded and posted for the world to hear. Have a new book to promote? Madison Talks is the ideal place to promote it. Fly solo or line up guests for your weekly live talk session. When your 60-minute program is finished live streaming, it'll be posted as a podcast to MadisonTalks.com for listening 24/7. Take your message to the world with MadisonTalks.com. Call 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalks.com. That's 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalks.com. MadisonTalks.com. Looking for your creative commentary.
This is the all-new Mitch Hanks Show.
Hi, I'm Mitch. I like to go on long walks to the Arboretum on a Sunday holding hands. I like to talk about relationships. I'm a gourmet cook. I like poetry. I like to go rock climbing on the weekends with my non-drinking friends.
My name's Mitch Hanks. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're right on.
Need a comedian or MC for your private party or corporate event? Don't be shy. I can do it without telling any dirty jokes. In fact, when I'm not doing my Frank Sinatra tribute show, I've done stand-up at the comedy club and at private events for years. Whether it's a large convention or private gathering in your living room, I've done it. We all need to laugh more. The world can be even more stressful than it is. There's no business like show business, and I usually find those of you who have the best jokes about your coworkers at the company dinner. So feel free to contact me at 347-0374. That's 347-0374. Email at info@madisontalks.com. That's info@madisontalks.com.
You're listening to The Mitch Hanks Show. Once again, here's the voice of uncommon sense, Mitch Hanks.
All right, Roger Stone is a friend of Trump and used to actually be on the Trump campaign, but he had a falling out with Corey Lewandowski back in early stages and became an advisor to Trump. He's written several books on Who Killed JFK, The Case Against LBJ, the Bush crime family. He's written some of the Clinton War on Women. He's written some very controversial books. He was called a dirty trickster during Nixon, but he doesn't like that label, but he calls himself a conspiracy realist as opposed to a conspiracy theorist. A conspiracy realist, he says. Roger Stone, who may even testify before Congress on this Russiagate thing, we'll see, because he was having conversations with Guccifer, who was the hacker from Eastern Europe, who allegedly is a front for the Russian government. All this fun stuff. And I can ask him, too, about Donald Trump and his quotes in the last 24 hours about Andrew Jackson, about Kim Jong-un, and also the wiretapping charge. All that ahead. But I'll tell you what, Gilad Altman is in studio for 9:30, and he is some kind of a guest. Doesn't like political correctness or post-left-right world that he believes in. All that ahead. Great, great final hour on Facebook Live on Mitch Hanks Show.